Daf is Daf Mem Zayin. So we got to the very last line of Mem Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mechabdin Lo B'Dirachim V'Lo B'Gshamim. There's a din that you don't show kavod to someone if you're traveling or you're on a bridge. You know, who should go first? We just say whoever gets there should go and don't wait for the other guy. V'Lo B'Yadai Muzomos. And also when it comes to Tzias Adayim as well, with regards to Mayim Achorim, we're not Mechabit anyone wherever it gets to. A person just washes hands, and we don't look for the Gadol. So these are three examples where we don't show Kavod to an individual. Gemara now has a mice of a person showing Kavod, or not showing Kavod to someone else along the way. The Gemara says at one time, Ravin v'Abai have a Ka'azli ba'orcha. They once traveling Kadme, Chamre, the Ravin l'Dabai. The Chamor of Ravin went before the Chamor of Abai. L'Amar le'midei. And Ravin didn't say anything to Abaye. Abaye was understood to be greater than Ravin. And Ravin should have said to Abaye, you go first. Below Amar Lamid, he didn't say a thing. So Nizamar, he didn't say go first. So Amar Midisalik, Abaye said to himself, Midisalik hai mirabana mima Rava. Ravin had returned back from Eretz Yisrael. And he was ghastly daita. He became very proud of himself, what he accomplished in Eretz Yisrael. So now he thinks he's the greatest thing on earth. However, when we got to the base Knesses, Amrle Neilmar. So Ravin says, Abai, you go first. So Amrle, Abai says, Bad Hashalamar Anna, but before this I wasn't your master, I wasn't your Rebbe. At the came when we were traveling by the donkeys, you didn't say a thing to me. But now we get to the base Knesses, you're suddenly mechabing me. So Amrle, Ravin says back to him, Hachi Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, and I learned this in Eretz Yisrael from Rabbi Yochanan, Erin Mechabdin El Pesach Shiesh Bo Mezuzah. We only show kavod to a gadol if it comes to a place, an entranceway that has a mezuzah. There's no entranceway, you know, outside in the drachim, but there's a mezuzah here at the Beis Knesses. The Gemara says, De isbe mezuzah in, les be mezuzah lo. It's only true if there's actually a mezuzah. But if there is no mezuzah, so then that wouldn't be the case. There's no inyan kavod. So El Miata, if that's the case, base Knesset is a base Medrash, de les bu mezuzah, there's no mezuzah. Now, even though we put mezuzahs on the shuls and the base Medrash, you don't need to. So a shul and a base Medrash just seems like back then they didn't have a mezuzah. So we're at a base Knesset, so there's no mezuzah. According to this svar of Rabbi Yochanan, there's no mezuzah here, so you shouldn't be mechabin me. So hachinami, de mechabin, you shouldn't show kavod to me here either, he says. Ela Ema, he says, Bepesach haroi lemezuzah. An entranceway that's roi for mezuzah. Doesn't mean that there's an actual mezuzah, but it's roi. What does it mean if it's roi? There's no mezuzah. So Rashi says, doesn't mean it's roi. Rashi explains here, Bepesach haroi lemezuzah, three lines down from the top. Kolomar, beknisas kol psachim, any entranceway, lemute drachim upratos. To exclude if there's a derech where there's no entranceway, or to exclude just a breach in the wall. As long as it's a Pesach. Doesn't mean a Pesach that you need halachically a mezuzah. Wherever there's a Pesach, that's where you show kavod. Where there is no Pesach, it's either outside or there's just a breach in the wall, which isn't an entranceway, that would not have an inyan of showing kavod. So Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yehuda, brei de Rav Shmuel, bar shilas mishmei de Rav. Ein hamasubim rashayin leechol klum ad sheyitum habotzeya. You can't taste it. If people are having a meal together, and the botzei, the one saying the bracha, he breaks bread, he cuts the challah, you can't eat it until the actual botzei tastes it first. So Yosef Rav Safra was sitting, v'kamar litomatmar, did you say dafka to taste it, but you don't have to actually eat it? L'may nafkamina, what does that mean, tasting versus eating? Shechayv adam lomar b'loshin rabo. So Rashi points out here is, if you look at Rashi, litom itmar, ein chilik b'davar, El Shechayv Lomar B'Lashon Rabbo. Meaning eating, tasting, we're not so machbid what the guy's doing, eating or tasting. There's no real nafkamina. But what he's saying here is, however you heard from your Rebbe, that's exactly how you should transmit it over to others. Even though litom and lechol, taste really means eating in this context, since your Rebbe said litom, you should say lechol as well. And the truth is, there are instances where we do see a difference between ti'ima and achila. It does come up in other instances, but here it was understood by the Gemara that there is no difference between ti'ima and achila. As long as you taste a little bit, that would be sufficient grounds to let the others eat as well. So one area where it comes up is, the Taz says, we saw earlier that there's a halacha that you cannot eat your food until you fed your animals to eat the food first. So the Taz says that if you give them to taste, that won't work. You have to actually eat them. I'm sorry. If you are tasting something, you don't have to feed the animals. only if you're eating something, you get to first feed your animals. But if you're only tasting something, then you don't have to feed your animals first. That's a chiluk that Taz says. But other Achram argue and say, no. We see from the Gemara here that there is no difference between te'ima and achila. When the Gemara says te'ima, it really means achila, and therefore, even before tasting, one would have to feed their animals before him. Okay, the Gemara now says further, so actually, there's interesting. There's a Tosus here to look at. Dibur Maschel Eina Mesubim Rashayin Litom Achi Yitom Mavarach. So he says you can't eat anything until the Mavarach tastes the food first. So the Gemara says that Tema Me'ahu Yisabed Arava Dari Psachim. The older person in the Gemara tells you in the Gemara Psachim De Gachin V'Shasi Amad V'Shasi called the Mavarach. What was happening was the individual saying a Kiddush. And he said Baruch Atah Hashem Lachim Yacham Bori Pri. He says short Kiddush Hagafin. And then the old man started to drink. And he was drinking before the Mavarach actually drank. So how come the Gemara here says that you can't eat until the other guy eats, but by the Gemara Mzachim, the old man drank before the Mavarach was drinking? The Tosa gives a few answers. Yesh Lomar, Shema Yesh Chilak, rather, Bein Achilishtia. Maybe it's only true of eating, but by drinking, you could drink before the guy saying, before the Mavarach drinks. Now, he doesn't explain why that is, but just maybe there, Shema Yesh Chilak. Inami, Yesh Lomar, Delo Shasa, that the old man didn't actually drink. Ella laharos lamaisa shalohaya. Maybe he did drink actually, but the whole point was laharos lamaisa shalohaya tzarach lomar yoser. I forget who the maisa was. I forgot to look it up. But someone was saying kiddush. He wasn't sure if he should say a longer kiddush or a shorter kiddush. So by the old man drinking right away, he understood it was a shorter kiddush. So he was just trying to show him the halacha. So that's a heter where you're allowed to eat or drink to show a psak halacha. Ubiushalmi says a third answer. Each person has their own bread in front of them or their own cup of wine in front of them. It's only true if I'm, let's say, saying the bracha, I'm giving you for my challah. But let's say in front of you, you each have your own challah, and I say the bracha for everyone else, then even you could eat before I eat. That's a heter brought down by the Yushalmi. We hold it. No, you don't have to wait. If everyone has it in front of you, I believe you're allowed to drink your own cup. Yeah, I believe so. Okay. So then back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, Shnaim Mamtinim Lezel Azeba Akara. Let's say two people are eating and they're sharing, I don't know, the French fries together. So one guy is taking a little break and, you know, he's texting or he's schmoozing. He's just letting himself relax, loosening his belt. The other guy has to also wait for him. I mean, if I stop my French fries, you have to hold back as well because it's not fair. You're going to have an advantage. You're getting more fries than I'm having fries. So if two of us are eating and one guy takes a little break, the other guy needs to take another break as well. But let's say there are three people eating out of the same French fries, let's say. Hey, Mamtina, you don't have to. If one guy wants to take a little break, the other two do not have to take a break because it's two against one. Two guys are still eating. You don't have a big stomach. Too bad for you. We're still stuffing our face here. Habotzeya, that's, again, these are just dinim of minhagim of a suda. Habotzeya, the one, the babayis who makes the brach on the bread, who poshi yado tchila, he gets to eat first. When he cuts the challah, he eats first. And then vimbalachlo kavol rabba, if he wants to give honor his rebbe at the table and give him to eat first, olamisha gadol mimenu, or someone else who's greater than him, harishus biyado, he's permitted to give someone else to eat before he actually eats. So then the Gemara says, rabba bar barchana have osik le libre, he was making a chasana for his son. And bey rav shmuel bar rav kitina, in the house of Rav Shmuel, called him Yosef of Kamasni Le Lebre. He was sitting down. He was teaching the halachas of suda to his son. His son was getting married. You have to learn derech eretz and how to, you know, sit down with a woman with your wife. So he was teaching him some halachas of hilchos suda. And he said, "Eina botzeya rashai libtzoa ad yichla amen mipi ha'onim." You can't cut the bread until the amen has completed. When you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, wait for everyone to answer amen, and then you're allowed to start cutting the bread. Now, the reason why that is because Rashi explains that Rashi, all the way up on higher on the Gemara here, five lines down, Ad Sheyichla Amen Mipi Ha'onim. Amen achar brich hasamotzi. The af anias amen min ha'brachi. That's part of the bracha. So until the bracha has been complete, you cannot cut the bread. So then the Gemara says, Rav Chista Amar Mipi Rov Ha'onim. You don't have to wait for everyone. As long as most of the people have completed their Amen, then you can begin cutting the bread. So Amar Lei Rami Bar Chama Maishna. What's the difference? Ruba to Akati Lokal Yabracha. Mutanami Lokal Yabracha. What's the difference if most of the people finish their bracha? They didn't finish it. Even if a few of them haven't finished saying the Amen yet, that also, the bracha isn't complete. Well, who cares, Rov or Emiut? If the brachas continue by the Amen, you have to wait for everyone. So Amar Lei, Rav Chista says back, Shani Omer, I'm of the opinion, Kol HaOmer Amen Yosemidai Eino Elatoa. those who extend their amen too long, he's mistaken, and that's not considered an extension of the bracha, that's just he's mistaken. So therefore, you don't have to wait for the ones who are extending their amen. So the Gemara now brings a brayse of a number of different halachas related to how to answer amen. Tanya Rabban, the brayse says, Ein onin lo amen chatufa. You can't make an amen chatufa, which means that instead you say iman or something, you say an aleph with a shva, it's called a chataf also. A shva, you say iman, as opposed to amen, that would be incorrect if they properly pronounce it. Umain or something, okay, but I'm not sure how it works exactly. Hungarian chasidim. V'lo amen ketufa, that as well, you can't cut it off, you can't say amen, you have to say the nun at the end, amen. V'lo amen yisoma, which means Rashi explains that amen, let's look at Tosas, because Tosas quotes Rashi and quotes an interesting shaila. V'lo amen yisoma, what's a widowed amen? So Tosas writes, Shein shamei abracha mipiyam avarach. You don't hear the bracha. So you hear others say amen. You walk into the room and say amen with them. But you have no idea what bracha they're saying. So that's amen yesoma. That can't be said. So Tosa asks the question, right? This question. Tema, the hot amen besukka. The Gemara Tukka tells us. Be'achzandria shel Mitzrayim. Me'achzandria Egypt. Shayasham kal gadol. There's a huge shul. V'lohayu yuchom kulam lishmo. Mipiyam arach. There's no way for them to hear the chazan. It's too big. They wave the little flags in front of the room to know, oh, now is the time everyone answer amen, even though they have no idea what he's saying. So the Eyanu amen, isn't that an amen yasoma? So Tosu answers, they knew what bracha they're up to, and they couldn't hear it, but they knew what bracha they're following along. Okay, that's Atah Kadosh, that's Atah Chonin. They're following along even though they couldn't hear it. That's allowed. The Gemara here is talking about Shenim Yodim Klal Hechen Achazin Omen. You walk in the middle of Shemun Esrei, you have no idea what the bracha of Chazar Sashas is up to. That would be an Amen Yisoma. The Gemara now says further one more halacha of at least brachas, so we don't say Amen Chatufan, Amen Ketufan, Amen Yisoma. For lo Yizrok bracha mi piva. A person shouldn't throw a bracha out of their mouth quickly. You should say it gently. You should say it with intent and carefully pronounce the words. Benazai Omer, Kola One Amen Yisoma, those who answer a widowed Amen, if you will, Yubanav Yisomim, his children will be widowed, will be widowed themselves. The Chatufa, one who answers a Chatufa, which was the incorrect pronunciation, Yishatu Yamav, Yishatu Yamav will be full of being cut off of some sort, some type of punishment. And Ketufa, Yikatfu Yamav, his days will be cut short. V'cha Marech B'Amin, those who extend their Amen, Marichan Lo Yamav Ushnosev, will then have an extended life. So Rashi says here, Kola Marech B'Amin, Marichan Lo Yamav Ushnosev, we just said above that a person shouldn't extend the Brach, remember the Amen. But Papa says those who have a long Amen are incorrect. Here the Gemara says that Kola Marech Amen is Marichan Lo Ushnosev. So Tosa says, "Vavad shall lo yarach yosef midai." Don't have it too long. So we're not sure what that means. Long, but not too long. We don't say amen. Amen would be long. Amen. And people sometimes when they have, you know, they're about kore and they're trying to find the place and they answer amen, they have either a late amen or a very long, dragged out amen. Those would both be incorrect. So Tosa says, "V'taima l'fish ein kriyasa teva kimashma kishu marach yosef midai." When you have it too long, it doesn't sound like the word amen. Doesn't sound like amen. You're adding like vowels or just alphs in there or something. That would be incorrect. Umaskana demilsa. The bottom line is dena botzer rashai levto achiyichla amen bipi rov haonim. So if you are saying the bracha and there's a couple of guys making a long amen, you don't have to wait for those couple of guys as long as most people have completed the amen. Okay, back to the Gemara now. Gemara says Rav Ushmuel have a yasi besudasa. They're sitting having a meal together, and then also Rav Shimi bar Chia have a kemisarev v'achel. So he is very quick to eat. Rav Shimi ate quickly. Okay, Rav and Shmuel were eating already, and Rav Shimi came late, and he really stuffed his face. The Amar Le Rav. Rav says, "My daitach, what are you doing? You're eating so fast. It's easy. There's no rush. Listerifu b'hadain." Because you want to, you want to join us for the Zeman. That's why, because we're about the bench. You want to quickly get in the Zeman with us. We already finished our meal, and you can't add in our meal. Once our meal is complete, even though we haven't benched yet, you can't be mitzarif with us yet. Amar le Shmuel. Shmuel says to Rav, "Ili maisi li ardilai v'guzloi la'aba milo achlinerle." If I gave you some, I don't know, mushrooms or something, or some little pieces of chicken or something, would you not eat it? So it's understood here, so since you would eat it, you're still a little hungry, that's not considered ending your meal. And therefore, since you have some room to eat something, in theory, your meal is considered continued, and therefore Rav Shimi does have a good reason to quicken his meal, so he can be mitzaref with our zimun. The Tosas writes here, halach l'maisa, ilu maisi le ardile v'chulu, mashma dekein halacha, drav nami lapalag. No one argues. Rav seemed to agree to Shmuel. If you're able to eat more, the meal is considered continued. Aval I amar havlan univarech, if you say, let's bench, and then a guy comes along to add the meal, then shesich daita melecha, then you've already concluded your meal with those words, v'ein shlishi mitzarif imar, and then you can join in at that point. So the Gemara now says, tamide de rav, havayasa besudasa. The students of Rav were once sitting at a meal, and Rav Acha came in to join them, and Amri Asa Gav Rabba Dimvarchlan. Oh, a great gadol came in. Rav Acha came in. He could lead benching. Amri Lahu, Rav Acha says, Misarise, the gadol Mivarch, who says the greatest one has to say the bracha? Iker Shibisuda, the one who's primary, who started the Suda, should say the bracha. Not the guy who came in last. He should be Mivarch. The Hilchasa Gadol Mivarch, Afa Gav Da Asa Levasov. At the end of the day, we paskin the greatest among them, even though he may have walked in last, should be the one who should recite the bracha. Now the Gemara is going to go through the series of Mishnayos, a series of halachas in the Mishnah, that we said different types of food, a person can be mitzarif or not mitzarif. If a guy eat a davar iser, he's not mitzarif to the zimun. If he did not eat a davar iser, he may be mitzarif to the zimun. So the Mishnah had said, achal demai, a guy ate demai, which is a case of bread that's safek, whether the maaser was taken. So the halacha is, we take maaser out of because of a safek. But let's say the guy didn't take maaser, and he ate demai as is. So the din was, he's allowed to mitzarif. So Gemara says, how could that be? Halachazilei, but when he ate the demai, he's not allowed to eat it. That's an iser to eat the demai. So how could the guy who ate the davar iser be mitzarif to the zimun? And the Gemara says, kevan d'ibayis mafkir lehu l'nichsei v'havi ani v'chazilei. Since in theory, if the guy, let's say Reuven came along, if Reuven wanted, he could be mafkir all his property, and Reuven would be an ani. We're about to see in a second that since the halachas of demai, that you have to take maaser, it's usher to eat until you've taken maaser from demai, an ani is allowed to eat demai without taking maaser. We have a special kula. Since the whole halach of demai is a derabanan, they allowed the ani to eat demai without taking maaser. So since every single person, in theory, could make himself into an ani, therefore it's not entirely asatim, and therefore it's considered a part of the zimun. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, the Mishnah Maseches Demai, Machil Nesa Anim Demai. You're allowed to take demai and lichadchila serve it to an ani. That's achsani demai also, if it comes to different soldiers passing through the house and they're forced to stay into your house, you could also feed them the demai. V'amar Rav Huna, Tana Beishami Omrim Ein Machilin Esa Anim Vesachsana Achsanai Demai. Beishami argues, but we assume like Beis Hillel, who allows one to eat an ani. So again, since in theory anyone can make themselves into an ani, demai is not considered that usher. Then it says Maaser Rishon should not let Trumaso. We have a case where Maaser Rishon was given to the Levi, and they took Trumas Maaser. So after I get my Maaser, I need to take. Let's say I have there 100 grapes, and the farmer gives me 10 grapes. That's Maaser. That's a tenth. So I'm a Levi. I get my Maaser Rishon. Of my 10 grapes, I need to give another Maaser of them, which is called Trumas Maaser, to Ezra the Kohen. So 1/10 of my 10 grapes is one grape I give to Ezra. So if the case is a Maaser Rishon should not let Trumas, so that I gave the Trumas Maaser to Ezra, I can be mitzarif to the din. So of course, I did everything right. Why wouldn't I be able to? What's the chiddush? Pshita. So the Gemara says, Lo tzicha ela shikdima the bishibalm. The din is, if the Levi ended up taking Maaser while the stalks of wheat were still there before the Kohen. And the din is, if the hifrish mimenu Trumas Maaser, v'lo hifrish mimenu Truma Gedolah. The order of events normally is, after you've taken the grains and brought them into the house, the first thing you separate is Truma Gedolah, which is 1/50 on average, you give to the Kohen. Next, you give a Maaser to the Levi, and the Levi gives Trumas Maaser of his to the Kohen as well. But let's say the halacha is, if I go take, or someone gave me, the farmer gave me Maaser, before ever giving Truma Gedolah to the Kohen, then there's a patur, you don't have to pay Truma Gedolah to the Kohen. You could circumvent the Truma Gedolah by going for the Maaser first. Now, it's a wrong thing to do, but if one were to do that, give Maaser Rishon before the Truma Gedolah, there is no requirement to give Truma Gedolah. So the case here is where they went to the Shibam, they went to the stalks.
This is only on the Maaser, not on the rest, right?
It's on Truma, what do you mean?
Meaning, let's say I have 100 grains, and I'm giving you're the lady, I'm giving you 10 before taking out Truma. I'm still chayav to give on the 90 that is left Truma.
No. So you give Maaser and you're potter entirely from Truma Gedolah. So look inside. So it says, when you go to the Shibolim, the Hifrish Mimenu Chumas Meiser, so you took Meiser from the Shibolim, and from the Meiser I gave Chumas Meiser to the Kohen, but lo Hifrish Mimenu Chumas Gadol, but no Chumas Gadol was given from this batch at all. Exactly. Uchad Rabbi Abo, like Rabbi Abo says, Dama Rabbi Abo, Amar Reish Lakish, Meiser Rishon Shikdima B'Shibolim, if they jumped the gun and gave Meiser Rishon to the Levi before giving to the Kohen his Chumas Gadol, Pater mitchumagadola. There is no requirement of chumagadola that way. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk that varimosa mimenu. You take chumas meiser from meiser, chumas Hashem meiser mina meiser, meiser mina meiser. Amarti dechav lo chumas gadola u chumas meiser mina meiser. What that means is the meiser I get. So then the halacha is that I have to give chumas meiser from my, but I don't have to give chumagadola from that which I received. So now I'm eating this meiser as a levy, even though Chumah Gadol was never taken from it, so the lach is maybe it should be usher to eat it, and I shouldn't be mitzarif to the din. The lach is that no, once I receive my meiser, then there is no requirement to at that point give Chumah Gadol. Fine. The Gemara then says, Amar le Rapapa labaye. Ihachi, that's the case. So why does the Gemara talk about a situation where you went to take the Chumah, the meiser, while it's b'shibolim, while it's still in the stalks? It wasn't ground up yet, or brought into the house yet. Let's say they brought in all the stalks, they made a pile, they put it into a big vat, they made everything nice into a big pile. Even then, Nami, the lacha should be, if you give the Levi his Maisa first, before giving the Chumah Gadol, there should be a p'tur of the Chumah Gadol as well. In that case, even when it's Bikri, even when it's put into a pile, which is a later stage of the process. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Alech Amar Kra, to you, I respond the following pasuk. It says, Mikol Maso Seichem Tarimu. That there's an extra pasuk here to include that we should add chuma. I mean, there's some instances where we would add chuma. So, I mean, the halach is if you made the kri, the pile, and then you gave meiser, you cannot circumvent chuma gadola at that point. Because the moment you made the kri, there was a chi of chuma gadola at that point, but if you took it when it's still in the shibom, it's still in the stalks, then you could circumvent the chumah gadola. So depending on the case, when the meiser rishon was taken before the chumah gadola, sometimes you say there's a patur of chumah gadola, and sometimes you say no, you can't circumvent it. You still have to give chumah gadola even though you give meiser rishon first.
Are you sure that the rest is also patur of chumah
gadola? We could look into it. That's a side point for now, I think. Anyways, we could look into that afterwards. So then the Gemara says, "My Ra'isa." So what's why do we say in one case? Why are we deciding if it's the meiser rishon is given when it's a kri? So then there's a chiv chuma. When the Maaser Rishon is given, when b'shibolim, we don't give a chuma gedola, what's the difference? And the Gemara answers, high idgun, low idgun. One case is where you made it into a whole pile, and since you made it into a pile, the chiv chuma gedola existed already, and therefore by giving Maaser Rishon first, you cannot undo the chiv chuma gedola that already exists. But when it wasn't made into idgun, when it wasn't made into the piles just yet, so then by separating Maaser Rishon, you can circumvent you can't circumvent the chiv to bring chumah gadol. Just look at Rashi to make this all clear. Hopefully, Rashi writes three lines down. High idgan mishoshe nismareach bekri. Now I said dagan. Once you make the pile and you smooth it out, that's called dagan in the pasuk. V'chayim to ikre dagan. Since it's called dagan at that point, chala alava rishus a kohen tchila. The kohen has already an ownership to the dagan that's there, and you can't ignore the chumah gadola. The chesed reishis dagan chatiten lo. You have to give him his dagan. Aval b'shibam, when it's still in the stalks, before you made them into very nice, clean piles, lo idgan, it's not called dagan at that point, and lo chal alav rishus b'kohen, there is no ownership for the kohen, and therefore, if you give ma'aser rishon first, you don't have to give chumah gadola after that point. Okay. Then the Gemara says, ma'aser sheni shviktish shniftu, if you have ma'aser sheni, or hektish, and you redeemed it, onto money, so now the food is completely chulim. If I were to eat ma'aser sheni, that's niftu. Or hektish esniftu, I can be mitzarif to your zimun. Pshita, of course, it's regular chulin. Why would I think otherwise? So the Gemara says, "Hacha b'maya skin." What's the case here? Kigon shenasan esa keren velo nasan esa chomesh. The din is when you're po de hektish or when you're po de ma'aser sheni. So let's say the fruit is worth $10. So you have to add an additional chomesh and add a fifth, another $2 to the amount to add to the money that has to be brought to you shalayim. So I paid the chomesh. I have here $10 to put the fruit onto the $10, but I didn't give the extra $2. I didn't give the chomesh yet. So one would have thought, maybe in that case, since I didn't give the full redemption as of yet, maybe I should not be able to eat the Maisa Sheni. And if I do, there's an Isser, I'm not mitzarev to the Zimun. The giving of the chomish is not mi'akev, the pidyon, and what I am eating is actually chulin, and I can be mitzarev to the Zimun. Hashamish, the Gemara quotes in the Mishnah, Hashamish no shachl, kazayis. If the waiter eats a kazayis, he can be mitzarev to our Zimun. Pshita, of course, why would he not be able to? He's a man, he's a Jew, he ate a kazayis, we ate two kazayisim, so we have a Zimun. What's a chiddush? Gemara said, pshita. Samal, the same way, what would you have thought? Shamish lo kava, since he's not kaveh with us, he's back and forth, he's not part of the kviyah suda. Kamash v'lan, even though he's not kaveh, we still allow him to be mitzarif to the din. Then we said akusi, which is a ger, machlokis, what his status is, he can be mezamin alav, he could also be part of the zimun. So amai, why? Lo ye ela amharetz. So he should be, no, at best, akusi is an amharetz. Let's say we grant that he's a full ger, but he doesn't follow the halachas. He has his own book of rules he follows. He's a Jew, but he doesn't follow everything. So he should be an Amaretz, and Vitanya ain mezamnin al ha'amaretz. We don't make a zimun with Amaretz. So by Amar b'kusi chaver. No, it's a kusi that's very learned. He comes from the kusi family, but he's learned, and therefore he's not an Amaretz. So the Gemara then says further on the topic of an Amaretz, Rav Amar afilu tema b'kusi Amaretz. Let's say he is an Amaretz. Still, hacha b'amaretz d'rabanan. This is the Amaretz. This machlok is how do you define an Amaretz? So we're going according to the opinion of Rabbanan, who defined an Amaretz as follows. The Pligi Aled Rabbi Meir, Askinam, which is what? What's a Machlokas? The Tanya. Eizu Amaretz, who's an Amaretz? Kol Sheinu Ochel Chulion, Chulav B'Tara. Anyone who doesn't eat the Chulin in the state of Tara, which is all of us here, pretty much everyone in the world now, so who don't eat the Chulin as going to the Mikveh before and keeping the Halachas of Tumah, anyone who doesn't do that, that's an Amaretz, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's a very, very stringent view of what an Amaretz is. Chachamim argue, Omrim, no. Kol she'eno ma'aseh perosav k'roi. Anybody who doesn't properly tie the fruit, they're an amaretz. But honey kusi, but kusim, they asuri ma'aseh k'dechazi, they do take ma'aseh, and therefore they don't qualify as an amaretz according to the definition of Chachamim. K'dibimai d'ksib baraisa, they're very makbin, and whatever it's written in the Torah, they're makbin. And Mizar Zari, they're very careful. Tamar Mar, kol mitzvah she'echziko bo kusim, any mitzvah that kusim do hold on to, harbi medachtikin ba yosim yisrael, they're more makbid than we are. So since the definition of amaretz to the chachamim are that of those who don't take ma'aser, and kusim do take ma'aser, therefore they are considered a chaver in regards to this halacha. Halacha l'maisa, Tosafot writes on the very top here, Amar Rav Huna halacha kacherim, that's what we paskin, and we didn't see that in the Gemara just yet. Okay, let's go weiter then. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanam, Eiz v'amaretz, who's an amaretz? So now we're going to see a few other opinions here. Kol sheino korek kriyashma arvitz v'shachars. Anybody who doesn't say Shema in the morning and evening are considered amaretz. So all of us here are not considered amaretz. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shua omer, kol sheino meniach tefillin. Those who don't wear tefillin are called amaretz. Ben Aze omer, kol shein lo titis bevigda. Those who don't wear titis. Rabbi Nassan omer, kol shein mezuzah al pischa. Those who don't have a mezuzah. Rabbi Nassan bar Yosef omer, kol sheyesh lo banim. Veinu magalim the Talmud Torah. Those who have children but don't raise them to a derech Torah. And Achim omer, others say, afilu kara v'shana. A person could learn Tanakh. He could learn Mishnayos, v'lo shimish talmid chacham. He could be very learned. He could be a big Talmud Chacham. But if he doesn't have any shimish Talmud Chacham, he too, hareze amaretz, that's the amaretz according to Chacham. That's also a very stringent view. The Amar Huna, Huna says halacha kacherim. So therefore, if you could be the learned, the most learned person in the world, but if you were never a shamish Talmud Chacham, you are considered amaretz. On that point, Tosas writes, Amar Huna halacha kacherim, but in the nowadays, ein anu no a medaktikin. We're not medaktik on who's an amaretz, who's not. V'ragilim anu lazamin ba'amaretz, and we would make a zimun even though there's an amaretz present. K'damrin b'chagiga, k'man m'kablin ha'ina sadusa me'amaretz. Nowadays, we're willing to accept edus even from an amaretz. K'man k'rabi yosi, like the shita rabi yosi, k'dei shalo yehei kolechad v'holech bone baba lasmo. Because we start turning people off that we're not going to accept your edus, we won't accept your zimun, we're going to have people starting their own religions, we don't want to do that, so therefore we're very, very makel in accepting everyone, even those who are amaretz. So if they've said there are times of the Tosos, how much more so in our day and age?
It would seem that the main reason for this is that they shouldn't be even eating together.
Because you can't trust this food, correct?
Meaning that it's not even a kavod for a Talmid Chacham to eat together with an Amaret, so they make you not veg together, so you shouldn't even sit and eat with them.
Is it because of kavod, or is it because he might serve you food that's not, that's
Isser? I think it's not.
Okay. So then the Gemara says, Rami bar Chama lo azmin aleh de Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa. So Rami bar Chama didn't want to be nezimun with Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa. The Tani sifra v'sifra v'hilchasa, that he learned a lot, but he didn't have any shimush tam chacham. He called him an amaretz. So kinach nafshe de Rami bar Chama, when Rami bar Chama died, so again he didn't want to be mitzarif with Rav Menashe. Rava said, "Lo nach nafshe d'Rami bar Chama." You know why he died? Ela d'lo asmin a Rav Menashe bar Tachliva, because he wouldn't include Rav Menashe to Zimun. He was so makbid that he didn't have shemesh. He wasn't gorisim. So v'hatanya, but doesn't Baruch tell us that achem omrim afilu kar v'shana v'lo shemesh tamidi chachamim hareza amaret? But he's following the halacha. The halacha is like the achem, not like Tosa said bisman hazeh. Bisman in the Gemara that we pasken like chachamim. That the Acherim, that hold, if you have no Shemesh, you're not Ma'aretz. So that's why, it's a very good reason why he didn't misarif him. Gemara says, Shaini Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa, din Meshami lehu Rabban. He was Meshami Shtami Dichachamim. Rami bar Bechama hu delo talk Abasa, he just didn't look into it. He didn't do enough research. Had he done research, he would have found out that in fact he was Meshami Shtami Dichachamim, and was Roy for making a Zimun. Lish Nachmin, alternatively, Dishama Shemaita Mipumayu Dirbanan Vigarslu. The Keturim and Baran Dami, one who learns from other people, even though he wasn't necessarily Meshamish Tamid Chachamim, a person really knew his stuff very well, he too is considered Tamid Chacham, and you can be Mitzarif. You don't have to really be Meshamish Tamid Chacham, as long as you learn properly and have part of the Mesorah. It's brought down, you know, the concept of Rebbe Muvak. There's a Pesach Tshuva on Yardea quoting from, I think, the Shvus Yaakov, that Bizman Azeh, there's no such thing as a Rebbe Muvak, because everyone learns from Sfarim nowadays. So if a person learned from Sfarim, that could somehow replace, it sounds like replace, Shemesh Tam Chacham. I'm not recommending that. A person, even the person who is a Posek and could learn all the Lach in the world, he should still have Shemesh from a Tam Chacham.
What does that mean?
Shemesh to serve, to see how he paskins, see how he understands things, how he goes through a sugya.
So not to serve food?
No. Not to serve food, no. That also is part of it, but just spending time with him to see how he acts as
a
person. So then the Gemara says, Achal Tevel Meiser. Let's say a person eats Tevel. That's an Isser Deraisa. The guy eats Meiser that you're not supposed to be eating. That Trumas Meiser wasn't taken from them. So Tevel Pshita. Of course, if the guy eats Tevel, he can be part of the Zimun. Lotzicha, but Tevel Tavel Midirban. If it's Tevel Midiraisa, that's a Vada. He can't be. But this Tevel Midirban. What's Tevel Midirban? Hayichadami, the Atas Sheno Nakav. A pot of fruit or food growing that's in a above the ground without holes in it. So we know if something's growing in the ground, grapes are in the ground, that's chai maisa midiraisa. If it's in a pot, that's elevated, but there are holes in the pot, so that pot, the dirt is yonik from the ground, that's also chai midiraisa. But let's say it's in a pot above the ground, and there are no holes, that's only chai midirbanan. So the guy ate it before maisa or truma maisa was taken from it, that's an iser tevel midirbanan. So even though it's only midirbanan, he still may not be part of the minyan, the zimun. Of course, if the chuma wasn't taken from it, so of course he can't be part of the zimun. So the Gemara says, he took the meiser before the chuma, but it was in the kri state, when the state of the piles, where he said you can't circumvent chuma gadol anymore. So Ma'adus Hema, what would you have thought? Kedamar lei rapapa labaye, the initial thought that maybe if you take meiser before chuma, even if it's in the kri, it could circumvent chuma. Kamashvala, no, it was too late at that point. Kiddushani lei. Only if you take Meiser in the Shibolim could you avoid the Chuma from being taken. But if you take the Meiser when it's already a Kri, then there's a Chiv to take Chuma. And since he didn't eat Chuma, since he didn't take Chuma, he's violating an Isser, and that's why he's not Mitzarif to the Zimun. Here's taking it when it was in the state of the Kri. When it's state of the Kri, there's a Chiv Chuma at that point. So then the Gemara says, Meiser Sheni, that was redeemed. Pshita, of course, if he didn't redeem it, he's violating an Isser, eating outside the Yishalayim. If he's eating Hektish without Pidyon, of course it's an Isser. Where it says, Lo Tzricha, Sheniftu, Velo Niftu, Kilchasim. He did a Pidyon, but he did a Pidyon incorrectly. So there's a Havmi, maybe it would be, his incorrect Pidyon maybe was sufficient. But the Gemara tells us that no, since it's incorrect, he's violating Isser and it's not part of the Zimun. What does it mean, Niftuf Shul, Niftu, Kilchasim? That you repoed it onto a coin, but asimon is a coin that has no tsura, that doesn't really use, can't be used in the currency. Rachman Amar, the Torah says, the tzarta kesef biyadcha, tzart is lashon tsura, that has to be part of the currency, where there's a face of the president or something. Kesef Sheyesh Alav Tzura, there's a Tzura that could be accepted. Only there could Pinyon work. So Hekdesh, what's an example of Hekdesh that was done incorrectly? Shechilu al gabe karka lo padu b'kesef. That you tried redeeming the Hekdesh onto ground, onto property, and you didn't put it onto Kesef, that doesn't work. Hekdesh only works, Rachmanu Amar, v'nasna Kesef, v'kam lo. But to be pulled on a karka, that doesn't work. So he attempted to do a pidyon, but in both cases it was incorrect, and therefore he violated an Isser, and that's why he's not mitzdarif to the Zimun. Hashamish Shachal. Hashamish who ate less than pachot mikazayis cannot be part of the Zimun. Of course, pshita. If he didn't have a kazayis, he's not chayvin benshin. So Gemara said, "I did the Tana Reisha kazayis, Tana Seifa b'pachos mikazayis." You're right. There's no chiddush here by the second case, but they wanted to have this symmetry in the Mishnah, and therefore they taught in the Reisha shamish shachal kazayis, and in the Seifa shamish shachal pachos mikazayis. And Hanachri, Eim Mizamna Love, we don't have a Nachri as part of the Zimun. Pshita, that too is obvious. There's no Chiv benching for Nachri. Hachabim Mayaskin, what's the case here? Beger Shemal Velotaval. Ger, that's going through the process, but only had the Bris Mila, but hasn't yet had the Tevila. So Damar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Liolam Eino Ger Achi Yimal Vitpo. You need both of those items, and also you have to have a Kabbalah El Mitzvah as well. The Kama Delotaval, so long as he didn't go to the Mikvah, Nachriu. So there's a half minute to think, maybe the Mila makes him into a Goy, a Ger rather. To Kamashlan, he's not a ger until he has a tefillah as well. Nashim v'avadim k'tanim ein mezamna love. We don't make them. We don't use them as part of the zimun. So Amr v'asi katan amuta barisa. If there's a child in the crib, mezamna love. We do count him. V'hatram. But the Mishnah says nashim v'avadim v'k'tanim ein mezamna lem. So how do you include an infant? So Gemara says who damer k'biyu shuben levi. Damer shuben levi. Afa pisha amu katan amuta barisa ein mezamna love. Aval also knows a sniff lasara. You're right. If there are two, you can't count the baby in the crib. If there are nine, you could add the baby to the tenth. He could be a sniff. He could be, because nine and ten are not so different. Two to three, that's a 33% jump. Nine to ten, only a 10% jump. So we can allow the baby to be part of the tenth. It'd be a chiddush. We don't pass in this way. But that's the chiddush of Shimon Levi. Furthermore, along the same lines, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Tisha of Eved Mitztarfen. You have nine Jews and a tenth one's in Eved Kanani. You could have the Eved Kanani count as the tenth minion. Meisiv asks the Gemara, famous Maisa. Maisa Rabbi Lazar b'shenichnas lebeis haKnesses. He came to the shul. V'lomata asara. There weren't 10 people. V'shichre Eav, though he freed his Eved Kanani. And when Eved Kanani is freed, he becomes a ger now. Now, v'shimul asar. Ah, I got my 10 people now. Shichre in. Lo shichalo. But if he didn't free him, it wouldn't work. But didn't we just say before an Eved Kanani can be number 10? So why did he have to free him? Must be that only when he's free does it work. Gemara says, no, Trey Itzrichle. He walked in, there were only 8. He needed 2 people. Shichr chad, benafik b'chad. So one he freed. See, that was number 9. That was a ger. And the 10th one he left as the Eved Kanani. So the Eved Kanani was really number 10. There's so much to talk about here, but we don't have time. There's a tosis here. There's a lot here, but unfortunately there's no time for this now. V'hechi avid hachi. How was Rabbi Elazar able to free the Eved in the first place? We have an Isser, deraisa, it says, V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, kol meshachr avdo over ba'asei. Those who free their Eved Kananis violate an Isser asei. Shenemar li'olam behem tavodu. You have to always enslave them. So how is he able to do this? So the Dvar Mitzvah shiny. When it comes to Dvar Mitzvah, it's permitted. Mitzvah Baba Averahi. But that's an Avera. To violate an Isser, to get the Mitzvah of Minin, that's a Mitzvah Baba Avera. You can't do an Avera to accomplish a Mitzvah. And the Gemara says, Mitzvah Dirabim shiny. When it comes to the Mitzvah of Minin, that's more important. So this is the Gemara used to show that Minin is very important. The Rush in the back says, no, it's not the Stam Minin of Tefillah. It was Parsha Zachar that day. So you need a Minin for Parsha Zachar. Parsha Zachar is a Deraisa. But comes to Minin Tefillah, that Minin is only Derbanan. That wouldn't be good reason to be Docha this. So there's a lot to talk about here. Again, unfortunately, not enough time, but we'll keep going by it there for now. Gemara says, yeah, the Gatos on the top talks about that. Rami B'shur ben Levi, the Olam Yashim Adam Lebeis HaKnesses, Kadesh Yitzko Yivim Ne'im Asara, HaRishon, a person should try and get to shul early, so he can be part of the first 10 that are there. She'afilu Me'a Ba'am Achrav, even if 100 people come after him, Kiba Alav Schar Kum, he takes everyone's schar. He takes all 100 people's schar because he came first. Gemara says, Schar Kulam Sakadaitach, he takes everyone's schar away? Meaning all their Shemon Esrei, their Trilas, he takes them away because he's part of the first 10? Ela Eima Nosin Lo Schar Kineged Kulam. Of course they have their own schar. But he gets the schar that's equal to all everyone else's schar as well. Meaning they each get one amount, and he gets 110 amounts of schar. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Tishav Aron Mitztarfen. You have 9 people, and there's Aron Kodesh. That Aron Kodesh is number 10. So Amar Le Rav Nachman V'Aron Gavrahu. Suddenly the Aron's a person? You need 10 people. That's not a person. Ela Amar Rav Huna Tisha Nirin Kasara. Mitztarfen. Since 9 people look like 10, so then you can include the Aron. Meaning you don't really need 10 people. you need 9 people, and the Aron makes things look busy, full. So Amrlei ki mechanfei, Amrlei ki ma'avadri. The machlokas, does it mean when 9 people are like tight, or when 9 people are dispersed? On one end, you could say when 9 people like stuff together like a little mob, you can't count the 10 people. There's a lot of room. It's like a mosh pit. So that's good. And some say no, when you have 9 people spread throughout the base medrash, you can't count one guy there, one guy there. It's too much for you to count. That looks more like 10. So machlokas, when you have 9 people, not 10, is it better for them to stick together or better for them to disperse throughout the shul to give the impression of there being 10? So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ami, Shnaim v'Shabbos Metzarfin. You have 2 people eating on Shabbos. The Shabbos is the third person. Shabbos serves as a gavra. So Amar Lei Rav Nachman, Shabbos gavri? The Shabbos suddenly is a person that counts for the third person for the Zimun? Ela Amar Rabbi Ami, Shnei Tamid Chachamim, HaMechadzin Zeh Zeh Balacha Metzarfin. So 2 people who are learning together, they create a third person. Who's the third person? So somehow they talk about somehow there by the Chidushe Torah that creates a certain element of a third concept, and there's a Zimun. It requires some explanation, but this is a big Chiddush. So then the Gemara, it could be that. The Gemara says, Machve, Rav Chissa said, but it's not a Stam person. It's Kigon Ana, Rav Sheshes. Me and Rav Sheshes qualify. It's not just a Stam Tamil Chacham. Machve, Rav Sheshes, Kigon Ana, Rav Chista. And Rav Sheshes says, like me and Rav Chista, so they both acknowledge each other as being both great Tamide Chachamim. Let's see, tomorrow's daf is long, tomorrow's daf is short. Okay, let's stop here then. We did a lot today. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. It's unfortunate.